If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking with author Ari Kardosh, whose book Relationship Agreements comes out today.
Woo!
On the Tuesday when this episode comes out. And it is available for free just today on Amazon for the ebook version. And if you're not listening to this on the day this episode comes out, first of all, where have you been?
Where have you been?
But second of all, you can still get her book. Obviously, it's just not going to be free. But we still recommend checking it out. We're looking forward to that interview. But before we get into that, I just had two things I wanted to talk about really quickly. One is that we wanted to say thank you to those of you who participated in the march in the U.S., wherever you are, to help
or
fight
across the world.
Across the world,
you guys
yeah.
are freaking amazing. Yeah. And yeah. thank you.
We had some people that we know who got arrested during while marching.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Super badasses.
So thank you for
to
doing
clarify,
that.
Arrested while peacefully protesting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why they're awesome.
Yes.
They weren't like rioting and looting. And
no.
I don't think that's awesome.
Right. No, that's but not
still.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is for those of you who are able to come and see us live in Seattle, Portland, Oakland, California, Berkeley, California, Los Angeles, or San Diego. Our tickets now are on sale for all of those venues except for San Diego. We still are working on that one. And we also just did our first live show here in Los Angeles for a little private audience.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It was
went
so much
so
fun.
Well.
It went
so
great.
Much fun.
Thank
Good
you
morning.
To everyone who was there for that.
Yeah,
so much
Had
fun
a blast.
Talking about poly in the media. And that's something that we'll eventually release as an episode so you guys can watch it even if you weren't there. But we're super excited about this tour. It's going to be awesome. If you go to multiamory.com/events, you can see the event calendar of all the places we're going to be. We're going to be speaking at a conference in Berkeley, as well as doing a live show in Oakland. We're doing a Valentine's Day show in Seattle. The day before Valentine's Day, we're going to be in Portland at the Fremont Theater, which is a really cool venue. And then we're going to be back in L.A. in North Hollywood after that. All of this is in February. We're really excited to see all of you there, get to connect with the community, and, of course, go out for drinks after all of the shows. So we hope to see you there. Get your tickets now, though, because they already are starting to get a little bit low in numbers left.
Yeah, which is
so
crazy exciting.
But we have less than 10 tickets left for the Los Angeles
show. What, seriously? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So go
so get, on it,
get your
guys.
Tickets now. I don't know about the other cities because I don't get numbers for them because the venues are selling the tickets. But if that trend is consistent, definitely get your tickets now.
Yeah.
We're really excited to see you. And with that, let's get on to the interview.
Woo-hoo.
And here we are with Ari Kardosh. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello
so
there.
Good to be here.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on the show.
So could you give us a quick kind of introduction of yourself rather than me trying to like read your bio? If you could just kind of tell us what it is that you do. What are you all about?
Sure. Though I do think it'd be really entertaining to hear you read it.
And then...
So yeah, my name is Ari Kardosh, and I'm an international coach and speaker. I'm based in Washington currently, but my family and I are on the road all the time, at least 50% of the time, raising a family and coaching and speaking. My husband's also a coach, speaker, and author.
Nice.
So I work mostly with people in relationship, who want to be in relationship. So I spend a lot of time looking at communication skills and how do we handle conflict and exciting topics like that. My background is in leadership development. I came from Amazon.com, where I was there for 5 years plus, working with some amazing leaders within the IT industry, and just discovered a passion for working with folks in their whole lives, not just their careers, but how, what is the whole person like? How is that? How their relationships at home, and how do they impact things at work, and that interplay, which was really sexy and exciting to me. So next thing I knew, I was working with clients all across the IT industry mostly, and then eventually that expanded. But I had clients at Google and Microsoft and Facebook and Amazon and all that. Then decided, this is so cool, this coaching thing. Like, I don't have to get out of my pajamas if I don't want to.
How awesome is that?
That's what success is to me.
Exactly.
Right? Right? And I can work from anywhere in the world. Like, I remember this day I was sitting on a beach in Cape Town and I'm taking a call with a client. I'm like, yeah, this is what I've been wanting to do.
Exactly.
Meaningful work from really cool places with really cool people that I get to choose to work with that is going to leave an impact. So that's
fantastic.
Excellent.
Well done.
Yeah, so to give our listeners a little insight, the way that we met Ari is we first connected with her when she was in Los Angeles, and Ari facilitated this great discussion group for one of the largest local poly meetup groups in L.A., that she came to talk about her new book, which is coming out on Tuesday.
Today,
by the time that you guys listen
today.
To this.
Yeah. Today, yes.
and to, you know, kind of tell people about how relationship agreements can really help, particularly in a non-monogamous format. But you, giving your background, actually, I really wanted to ask, you know, like, what was the moment like? What was the catalyst that to take you from, you know, working with Amazon and working in IT to working in romantic relationships and talking about emotions and sex and all these things?
You don't see that clear connection?
Yeah.
So my background before this is in sexual psychology and international business, both.
Oh, lovely.
And I focused in leadership development, but I worked all over HR. So I was constantly working with people. Mm. And once trust was established and doors were shut, we'd talk about everything.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't just, are your groups on track? So I've always had a passion for hearing about, where is your heart? Where is your soul? Mm-hmm. Where is your mind? How can we link them all together and get where you want to go?
Yeah.
It just isn't so evident when you say you work for corporate America.
Not
everybody wants to go there.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a really natural progression. And I was already doing so much in our community outside of Amazon, where that fit. I was naturally coaching people and just being a part of a beautiful, intricate community in Seattle of the people of all relationship structures, whether it's monogamy or polyamory or just some unique form of open relationship.
Right.
So,
That's awesome.
We have a really amazing group up here called Relationship Anarchy, which is
we're familiar with
1,000 people, right now in terms of members. And it's one of those places where I send people no matter what their relationship is. Most people identify as open, but you don't have to be. I'm like, the thing is that these people are gathering to have meaningful discussion and figure out their relationships and what are tools that actually might work, because a lot of what we're given in mainstream culture doesn't work. The story that all you have to do is find your prince or princess charming and you're done.
Exactly.
We all know how that story turns out.
Something that you mentioned in your book is, you know, pointing out this idea that we kind of have to step away. You specifically said, you know, stepping away from our understanding of how things should work and focusing more on, well, what actually does work? And, you know, when creating relationships, obviously we move very much in the community of people who've chosen to really step outside the box, you know, and abandon monogamy and abandon sexual exclusivity and all of these things.
And the relationship escalator.
Exactly. Yep. And so very much in this community that does have to figure out, well, now we don't have a script, so now where do we turn to? You know, now we really do have to figure out, well, what does feel good, what doesn't feel good, and kind of make decisions from there.
And this is a choose your own adventure, and you're choosing every day.
Exactly.
Definitely. So something that we really enjoy on this podcast, and which I really enjoy personally, is I really enjoy applying left brain processes to like right brained emotions and like right brained relationships.
So already talking sexy.
Yes, exactly. So on our podcast, we've talked a lot about things like running Agile Scrum on your relationships.
We love that.
You know, and different, like, communication
You
hacks.
Guys are nerdy.
So nerdy.
Why aren't you in Seattle?
And, like, different, you know, communication hacks that you can apply when you're in conflict or things like that. And so, of course, we love this idea of kind of formalizing relationship agreements. what I've experienced in my own life when I talk to people about these things, and maybe some of you guys have gotten this too, is some people are like, well, that's weird. That seems like it takes the magic away. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems robotic. Like, why would you do that? I mean, have you guys gotten that response at all? It's like, people either love it or are really turned off by it.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about, like, doing things like Agile Scrum and kind of having a specific, like, we go through these steps every month when we have our relationship meeting. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like, to some people, like you're saying, it's this really exciting thing. And to others, it's like, they have this idea that in order for a relationship to be good, it should all be spontaneous. Like,
that's the marker that the relationship's without, good, that it doesn't take work.
Right. Yeah. Or that it all happens without.
It should be the Hollywood movie, though.
Yeah, right. And that they don't want to rock the boat.
The work should have been in finding your mate, and now it should all be fun and romance and passion all the time.
Right. Exactly.
So I guess my question would be, you know, when you're telling people about your book or when you're working, you know, coaching people, how do you mitigate that? You know, kind of how do you warm up people who see this as like, this is weird and corporate and awkward?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I also find it's a very, there are often some characteristics of people for whom this is a harder idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
And being the daughter of a lawyer.
no one, that all makes sense.
I can understand that this is really scary for a lot of people too. Mm-hmm. And I find that most of the time it's this fear of loss of the story, right? This easy, beautiful package that we're sold. And that's really hard. You have to grieve that. The fact that a relationship might take work. Mm-hmm. Even if you ask them how did it work in the past with other relationships and how long have your relationships lasted and how fulfilling were they?
Yeah.
You know, the truth is they're still hoping for that thing that we were taught when we were younger. So kind of like starting to pull apart their own story instead of the thing they were fed and they're still looking for helps a lot, I've found, but it takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you know. And then also just creating more space for curiosity. I think that a lot of people are set in this idea that this is how it's going to be, and we should just start saying, okay, well, what if we just tried some baby steps? I mean, you don't have to like sit down, and it's probably not the monster that you've created in your head about writing out a whole relationship agreement. Well, all we're going to do is sit at a boardroom table and debate for like 4 hours, right? Instead, we're going to have a lot of fun. And what if we did this in baby steps, bite-sized chunks, where you do all the things you love in between, even if it is like, I don't know what the heck we're going to do. We're going to do something spontaneous, and we're going to go have fun, and we're going to try out this new sex toy, and we're going to go watch this movie together we wanted to watch, and then we'll come back and talk about another topic that, you know, has been in our hearts and minds anyways. We're having conflict over potentially. It's there. We just are trying not to look at it. It's like the elephant in the room.
Interesting.
It's like, let's just bring it out, and chances are the landmine explosions will be far less, with far less shrapnel, far less injury, and a lot more happiness. So you have more room for the fun, passion, romance, romantic fun, stuff that's going on that you want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I so appreciate you talking about the work that is involved within relationships, because I think that we all have like this preconceived notion that once you find the one, that it's just going to be easy and magical. And so many people kind of go against the work that is involved with that, because they're like, well, if you were right for me, then it would just be a no-brainer. It would be super simple.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say that the magic is impossible for anyone.
Sure. However.
And in most cases, and this is working with clients who are over 70 years old, too, and have been with people, with one partner for a very long time, it often comes down to how involved are you in each other's lives and how deep is your relationship. Because if you're okay having more of a surface-level relationship and putting your energy and your priority towards something else, your relationship can be a piece of cake.
Interesting.
That's very true.
Maybe, or at least for a little while.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, people don't stay static. Or maybe fortunately, I don't know, both.
Yeah.
People don't stay static all the time, right?
Which is another thing that I think people are also afraid of with relationship agreements, is the idea that if we write this down, I'm locked in forever.
Sure.
This is like a legally binding document.
Yeah.
No, and you said it's
all.
A living agreement.
The point of this is to allow you to grow, your partner to grow, your partners to grow, to let your relationship expand and contract as it needs to, and just be open and honest about it. instead of getting in silly fights about where things are at or not at. You know, you just get stuck, and you don't want to be stuck. You want to be agile. You want to be all over the place and have a lot of fun together.
Yeah. It's I liked how, you know, since you're talking about getting into fights and you mentioned about, you know, dealing with landmines, something that I found, you know, like doing like monthly check-in meetings or things like that, you know, creating this safe space to bring up things, that there really can be this ingrained sense of like, yeah, there is this elephant in the room, but like, I actually don't really want to deal with it until it becomes a landmine, then we'll deal with it. That it's like, we're so scared sometimes to actually bring up things that we know are sensitive subjects when things are safe. We so just want to bring it up when it's emotional and dramatic. And I think that's another thing that's probably confronting to people in creating relationship agreements, is this idea that it's you know, having to talk about uncomfortable subjects that I'd rather just talk about in the context of an argument. Than actually tackle head on right now.
Well, I think also for a lot of people, it's if this is something that leads to arguments, there's this idea that, like, we're doing okay right now. I don't want to bring it up and talk about it because that means we're going to argue again. Like,
I'd rather... Don't rock the boat!
Right? Yeah, exactly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamAndEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I at AdamAndEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
We've talked, you know, we talk a lot on this show, and I feel like people within the non-monogamy community seem to be a little bit more willing to look at these sort of out-of-the-box things and, like, new techniques and stuff like that. And what we were talking about before having this interview with you was how your book is this nice way of bridging this gap between techniques that work in traditional relationships with techniques that may be pulled from non-monogamy, but not having to be a book about polyamory. Like Dedeker was saying, she's like, this is a book I feel like I could give to monogamous friends who I think could benefit from some out-of-the-box thinking or kind of getting out of that traditional relationship advice, but that's not actually a book about poly itself. Like, they don't have to take that scary step of, like, giving their girlfriend
like a polyamory
book about polyamory.
I want to open our relationship.
It's not like handing somebody a book of, like, when someone you love is kinky and you're like, oh gosh. You're like, Yeah, exactly. And that was my hope when I set out to write this book. It was very much a, how can I create this bridge? Because I work with people of all types all over the world, and it's not polyamory, open relationships, ethical non-monogamy, these are not paths for everyone, but they are paths for a lot of people. And a lot of the people who have chosen them have done some freaking hard, off-the-beaten-path work. that won't get recognized or brought into our larger culture because it's laden with scary words and landmines.
Exactly.
People are like, oh God, you said this thing. Yeah. And if you say it, it's not, I can't even listen to you.
Right.
And I also find, I'm not as much, but I do find that oftentimes people who are out in their loud and proud poly, like, mode, will often shut out a lot of mainstream ideas, too. It's the same. Both sides.
That's
like, we have to stay with our people. Stay with our tribe.
Right.
Which, there's a lot of benefits and beautiful things that can come out of that, for sure. But what happens if we started crossing these more often with more open dialogue around what could happen and how they can benefit everyone instead of like staying in our camps.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work for you, let it go. You don't need to believe everything in this book.
Sure.
You don't have to believe everything I say, right? It's take what works for you and get rid of the rest.
That's excellent.
Yeah, we've definitely found, kind of like you were saying, that in the years that we've been doing this podcast and educating people and stuff like that, that more and more a lot of the answers to things, when people ask questions about polyamorous relationships, you're sort of like, well, think about it the same as you would think of any other relationship.
Yeah.
That there's really not as big a difference as people think between these ways of doing things. That relationships between people are still just that.
Yeah, there's a lot of common ground for what it takes for a good relationship and good
communication.
Of course.
That there's a lot more common ground than there are differences.
Which is nice, because I think you do write your book in a very accessible way, that it doesn't matter what your relationship orientation is or your sexual orientation is, or even if it's romantic or not, that you can still apply these principles, which is fantastic.
And this book is really written for people in some sort of romantic relationship, but again, most of the tools can be used across the board, and I've helped people create divorce plans with it, and parenting plans with it, how do we just grow better as friends with it?
Sure.
Okay, well, there's so much potential here, and a lot of the tools came from working in HR.
Right?
So it's taking and bridging a bunch of different worlds in one place.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So I want to bring in the thing in your book that shows up even in the first chapter that we debated
about
the most.
Yeah, love.
Fred. Can you, for our listeners, can you explain the concept of Fred?
I was curious where we were going to go with this one. Sure. So Fred is this idea that there's, again, and this is really targeted towards anybody can read this book, right? But I think most of us were raised with this idea that there's one person and there's me and we get together and we're this thing. And I think we often lose ourselves in relationships as a larger society. I think people get lost.
Yeah.
So for me, I met this lovely couple who's really been a great influence on me as an individual and as a parent. And they had on their calendar, I noticed one day, that every Saturday they would have, we're taking Fred to the zoo. I was like, who is Fred? And why are you going to the zoo every Saturday? And their idea was that it's not just about them. It's not just about her and not just about him, but it was about them as a couple. And in joining together, it created a unique third entity, which was, for them, Fred, which was a little blue monster about 3 foot tall and really cute. And it helped them think about this idea that you need to be constantly keeping Fred in mind and nurturing him and feeding him and investing in him. And if you don't keep Fred in mind, he can get lost or he might not grow up the way that you would hope. You don't want to sit that back one day, 20 years on the line, and be like, oh, I missed that.
Oh yeah, we love Fred.
That's
in the
where
back
Fred
of our car.
Came from.
Yeah,
and so now I love the concept, and I asked if I could use it, and they said yes, of course. And now I have clients who have their own Sally, and they have pictures of Sally drawn hanging in their living room.
Nice.
And you know, it's just a little way of remembering that your relationship is important, and it's outside of both of you, and it's worth investing in. How can you invest in this?
Yeah. So I mean, we talked about Fred so much
because
all of us got something very different out of that example.
Definitely.
You know, for me, you know, the things that I liked about it were, I do like that idea of almost that it's like your little baby that needs care, that it's like you don't have the baby and then you're done. you know, you have the baby and then you still got to nurture and take care of the baby for a long time, you know? And so that was very much what I got out of it. But you guys, like, had very different interpretations as well.
I really appreciated the fact that, like, if my partner and I have challenging times communicating with one another, like, he tends to be a teacher and I tend to be a spewer and just want to get all my emotions out there. I don't have to feel as though he's kind of talking down to me or being condescending or anything. It's like he's trying to help the relationship along and move that forward, as opposed to telling me, like, you need to be patronized in this moment or something. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. Yeah, I really appreciated the idea that, like, it is a separate entity and that someone helping you along is not just saying, like, you're a bad person, but rather, like, let's figure this out together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool for me. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and
And Jace?
I was the one who was the least into it. I'm just going to be honest right there. And my concern, and actually what's interesting is hearing you explain it just now in the interview, I actually found an access point that I do really like about it.
Oh, lovely.
That I didn't get from that section in the book, interestingly enough.
This is why you have, like, second editions.
was that for me, I felt this sort of concern of that by being able to think of things you're doing as being in service of Fred or, you know, or of whoever this creature is or this thing, that it can, like, that it could allow you to put a ton of work into a relationship that's not actually effective for your partner. Mm. Like the example of, say, you know, my, you know, love language is acts of service, and for my partner that, like, really doesn't do anything for him or her. And so I keep doing this and they don't appreciate it, and instead of addressing that problem, I go, oh, well, I'm doing it for Fred, or for, you know, for the relationship. So to me it was a little bit like, I had this feeling like, I don't know, like, I kind of feel like it's, like, taking away from some of the responsibility of dealing with those things.
Mm. Yeah.
But I will say, from the way you described it just now in the interview, the thing I did really like was using it in the sense more of just, like, as a way to remember this is something we have to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
That, for example, you know, in my relationship with Dedeker, we do this podcast together. We have some other, like, business things that we do together, and we both have our own projects that we support each other on. And it's easy for us to get caught up in just work all the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think when Emily and I lived together, we fell into those same traps with certain things of just, it's all about the pragmatic day-to-day rather than taking Fred to the zoo or, you know, doing whatever it is. Yeah. So I do like that concept of it, and I didn't get that as much from the chapter, but I do really appreciate that way of thinking, like, oh, we got to be sure we give enough attention to help guide this thing and raise this to be what we want it to be.
Yeah. And we did have a conversation of, like, okay, so if we had a Fred, like,
what would it be? Like?
And, like, I wanted it to be, like, tiny and cute and, like, Japanese. like, with things like anime eyes.
Like a Japanese mascot.
Yeah. And then we're like, but does it have a gender? I don't know.
Yeah, we got really stuck on the gender thing.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is, like, that's beautiful. If nothing else, whether the concept of Fred works for somebody or not, no matter how they interpret it, it's, is it sparking new ways of thinking? Is it sparking new dialogue?
Yeah.
Are you finding out that yours is actually a Japanese anime character?
This is great stuff.
And if nothing else, you had fun talking about and dreaming about this idea for, like, a minute.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday over lunch.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So we're starting to wrap up here. So, you know, usually whenever we have a guest on for interview, we leave the, you know, the classic multi-amory question is we kind of ask our guests, like, what's one thing that, you know, a person can do or one of our listeners can do?
Yeah, like, what's one actionable thing that our listeners could go home and do today? Mm-hmm. Right? Aside from going to
today
get your
is
book.
Tuesday.
You're right.
Today is Tuesday.
So go get the book.
You can go online to Amazon.com and you can look up relationship agreements and get your free copy of this book.
And it's free. It's only free on
right
Tuesday.
Now,
yeah.
For free. Today
okay.
only.
Right.
Because I want all of you to have this tool.
Lovely.
Right. And inside of it is probably what I'm going to blurt out in a moment as your one thing. So you might as well just go get the whole thing for free anyways.
yes.
Let's see. One thing. It's hard to choose just one.
I know,
isn't
right?
that why yeah, they do multi stuff, right?
Sure.
Well, usually, to frame it a little bit better, is usually the question we ask is specifically like, what's one piece of advice you would give someone who's considering a non-monogamous relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. That helps make
yeah.
it.
That
a
helps
more
make
specific.
It. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Do yourself work.
Yeah.
That would be yeah. it for me. I mean, there are so many things you can do. And so many things you do as a couple and as a triad and a quad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your cue. Like, there are so many things you could do. But at the end of the day, if you're not going inside yourself and doing the hard work and digging out all the skeletons in the closet and asking yourself the tough questions of, are the stories that I'm carrying currently serving me? Are the tools that I've been using still the tools that I should be using, or should I get some new ones?
Yeah.
If you don't look at yourself and do that, you can't bring it back to the world, back to your relationships, and expect there to be a healthy outcome. It's really about looking at yourself, doing some introspective work, continue to do personal development, and figuring out what's next for you so that it has a ripple effect outward.
Yeah, lovely. Definitely.
That's great.
Excellent. So, Ari, where can our listeners go to find more of your stuff?
Great question. Well, you can go to my website, which is aricardosh.com.
Can you spell that for us?
If you can't figure out how to spell aricardosh because you're listening in, I totally understand. And so I'll make it easier. It's relationshipagreements.org. It'll link there, too, which is great. And then, again, today is Tuesday. It's my official launch day of my book, and I'm super stoked. And one of my goals of writing this and spending so many hours inputting into this and years putting into this book was to make it a very accessible tool for people. So the fact that I can give it away today feels really, really important to me.
Lovely.
So I'd say
that's
please
awesome.
Go to Amazon, download the free ebook, and if you decide you want a paperback copy, you can buy one then too. Mm-hmm. And it'll stay up on Amazon, I hope, for a long, long time.
Right.
But please tell your friends, tell your communities about it today, because this is the day when it's free, and that's really
fantastic.
Get it out there. I'd rather be out there in the world.
Yeah.
And
right?
for our listeners who are coming to this later than Tuesday, if they didn't listen to it the first day it came out,
You can still get it. It's just going to be free. I know. It's gonna actually cost a little money because I probably should pay my editor and my designer.
Those people probably
yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so if you are getting this after Tuesday, just know you're supporting her designer and editor.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
important. An awesome global team: designer in Sweden, formatting team in India,
and
marketing person in Florida. Is crazy.
And so much that goes into
this week, today the book is coming out, obviously, but then in about 2 weeks from now, I have another baby being born.
Oh my goodness.
an actual baby.
Like an actual human baby. Yeah?
Yeah, like another son is coming to join our
family. Congratulations.
Really, so I also want to let Amazon run with this and let the world run with this and not have to worry about too much funneling after this.
Right.
Understandably so.
Yeah. And one other thing, I don't just do the book. So if something resonates with you today, anybody on the show, whenever you hear it, and you want to talk more, please reach out. Again, relationshipagreements.org is an easy way to reach me, and we can talk about what coaching looks like. I do it with folks all over the world and would love to hear more about what's going on in people's lives wherever they're at.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, Ari,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for sharing your book with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We hope to talk to you again soon.
So thank you guys so much for listening. Go check out Ari's book for sure. If you want to find more of us, you can go to multiamory.com. You can email us at info@multiamory. You can follow us on social media, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Instagram. If you search for multiamory, you can
find
us.
Yes.
All right. See you guys next week.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.